I'm Kevin McCory, and this is a special update episode of Schooled. Javon Weaver had a story to tell, but he didn't tell me all of it.
New at 11, a local charter school principal is stepping down after he was allegedly involved in a deadly hit-and-run crash.
Former principal Jovan Weaver is accused.
Jovan Weaver was the principal at John Wister Elementary, a Mastery charter school in Germantown.
This was the news that came out last month. Javon, who was the subject of Season 2 of Schooled, was charged with vehicular homicide in a hit-and-run that happened in late 2017. That was several months before our last interview for the podcast. Here's what we know, according to the affidavit. It was the day after Christmas, just after 10 p.m. Javon was driving on a busy road on the edge of Philadelphia. He accidentally struck 58-year-old Anthony Rogers, who was crossing the street. Javon fled the scene. Rogers was eventually taken to the hospital by paramedics and was pronounced dead at 10:45 p.m. Meanwhile, prosecutors say Javon abandoned his car in North Philadelphia after attempting to burn it. The next morning, Javon's attorney says Javon came to him and confessed. They alerted law enforcement, and Javon signed a statement affirming he was responsible for the hit and run. A police investigation followed. For reasons that are unclear, charges weren't filed against him until April 2019, 15 months after confessing. The media didn't catch the story until June, the day before the preliminary hearing in the criminal case. And all that time in between, he remained the principal at Wister Elementary and kept quiet about the incident. Mastery Charter says it only found out a few days before the media did, and Javon then resigned. I found out when WHYY got a call from someone at the local ABC News affiliate.
I'm calling because there's a piece that WHYY did on a Javon Weaver, a principal at Wister Elementary School. I'd like to talk about using some of the pictures. He is in the news today, and so that's why.
At first, I thought they must be doing a story about his work to recruit black males into the education profession. I texted Javon to give him a heads up that the TV station wanted to use his photo. He said it was no problem and appreciated me reaching out. I asked what the story was about. He told me he was involved in a tragic car accident and that there was a hearing the next day. "It's a lot, man," he wrote. At that point, I immediately went to the website for Pennsylvania court records. I looked his name up, found his docket sheet, and read the details of the case. I found the news coverage that happened the day after the accident, when it was a hit and run by an unknown assailant.
Well, Philadelphia police say this red car is the vehicle that was involved in a deadly hit and run in Overbrook overnight. Officers recovered the car near 19th and Cortland Streets in Logan just a few hours ago. They are still searching for the driver.
I sat at my desk feeling like the room was spinning. I was in shock. I was angry. I was confused. I felt bad for Javon. I felt bad for his children. I felt worse for Anthony Rogers and his family. I texted Javon again, asking if he planned to fight the charges. He said he took responsibility for his actions, but was hoping some charges would be dropped. If found guilty on all counts, he could face up to 19 years in prison. That evening, local TV news ran the story, plastering our photos of Javon across the screen. Him at the first graduation day for Mastery Wister, another of him standing on the basketball court across from his childhood home, the one he talked about in the podcast always being covered in crack vials.
This is not the place you wanted to hang out. I mean, you literally see just crackheads everywhere, abandoned homes.
Javon Weaver was someone I thought I knew well. Over the course of 18 months, from 2016 to 2018, we had deep, emotionally raw interviews where he made himself extremely vulnerable. He told me about the failure of his marriage and his traumatic childhood. While reporting the story at Wister, I came to admire him as a principal and a leader. I saw someone who was beloved by both parents and his staff. I saw him make hard decisions for the best of his students. I met his two children, interviewed his ex-wife, found him to be a very caring, involved father. He trusted me to tell his story, and I took that responsibility as a privilege. When I learned about the criminal charges, one of the first things I did was comb back through my recordings. I interviewed Javon and his mother, Robin, in November of 2017, a month before the hit and run.
When he was 3 years old, we would take the wooden puzzles, three of them, turn them upside down, go like this, and then say, "All right, Javon, it's time to put the puzzles together," and we'll time them. It would be like 3 seconds or something like that. And we was like, "Oh my God." I said, I told y'all. With him being so smart, he could have been a drug kingpin.
By January, after the incident, My story was still in process. I was hammering down details on school finance at Worcester and busy with other projects. But I knew I needed one more big interview with Jovan to clear up some details about his life, add some texture. We met at the school in February. He seemed weary.
Well, the honeymoon is over now. And so, you know, we got a lot of great data back from...
We talked that day about life growing up in poverty in North Philadelphia.
You hear the cops, you hear the gunshots, you hear a lot of things. You see a person one day, you don't see a person the next day.
And then being abandoned by his mom at age 10.
All you feel is like true pain, and you don't understand why. And then again, because you're a child, you can only control so much. And so then, your mindset starts to shift, and you start to feel like you have to take care of yourself. You feel like you have to provide for yourself.
But digging back through that interview, knowing what I know now, thinking about what must have been going through his head, this is the tape that really jumps out to me.
When I talk about the impact and of trauma as a child that it has on you as an adult, like, again, I still have a lot of those issues, current day. And I try to be so reflective, and I try to make, so many connections, why, and what's the common denominator? Is it me? Is there insecurity there that I haven't explored? Is there some blind spots that I'm still not seeing, and where I think I'm super reflective, but I'm not? Why do I keep finding myself in the same position? But then the flip side of that is that you want to pour so much out. I feel like I have so much love inside of me. I just want to pour it out, and I want other people to know what that feels like. Again, I truly feel like my life is not for me, it's for others and for people to draw from it, draw strength from it.
He mentioned nothing about the hit and run in that session or other shorter ones that followed. Nothing about a car accident. I finished and released the podcast season in April 2018. Jovan and I were interviewed about it together on WHYY's Daily Talk Show, Radio Times. I was feeling very happy to have completed a project I poured a lot of myself into.
Kevin McCrory joins us on Radio Times along with Jovan Weaver. Kevin, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
So excited to be here, Marty.
And Jovan, nice to have you with us as well.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
I'd like to know what you...
I keep coming back to the thought. What was going through Jovan's mind as the story came out? And then as he went back to work day after day, knowing that he killed someone, knowing that he could be charged at any moment with a felony, knowing that sooner or later, the truth would come out. What did he do to get through the days and nights? Did he pray it was all a nightmare from which he could awake? After our initial text recently, I asked Jovan a few times if he'd sit down with me again to talk. At this point, he's being advised by his attorney not to speak to the media. His lawyer is Fortunato Perry. He read me this statement over the phone.
Mr. Weaver's deeply saddened and haunted by the consequences of his conduct. Not a day goes by where he doesn't say a prayer for the victim and the members' families for the loss of a loved one.
For me, the preliminary hearing was a surreal scene. Homicide cases in Philadelphia happen in room 306 of the Criminal Justice Center. There's bulletproof glass between the public gallery and the attorney's tables. There's no recordings allowed. A television reporter and I were the first ones there that morning. Jovan's mom and other relatives soon came in. Members of Anthony Rogers' family did too. Jovan arrived at 8:35 in a gray suit with dark brown eyes of sorrow. Proceedings were scheduled to start at 9. We all waited a while in stony silence. At one point, Jovan shook his head to himself and sniffled. The courtroom slowly filled up, defendants and their families on the left, victims' families on the right, behind the prosecutors. A rustle of nervous energy filled the air. There were 6 cases on the docket. Jovan's was second. Police officers huddled in the back of the gallery chatting. Defense attorneys and prosecutors shuffled around the sides. A court clerk drank iced coffee from a plastic straw. A woman on the victim's side burst into tears. The judge arrived more than an hour late. He walked through the gallery in street clothes, slipped into a room behind the bench for a moment, and came back wearing a black robe, not fully zipped. In the first case, we listened to a mother testify about her son's murder. She said she helped him stagger into her house after being shot on the street. She said she saw the defendant outside holding a gun. Detective Lucky showed some grainy video evidence captured from a poll camera. The defense disputed the mother's story and asked for the case to be dismissed. The judge disagreed. Jovan's appearance before the bench was much quicker. He waived his right to the hearing, essentially acknowledging the state has a legitimate case against him. We had waited 3 hours to get through that formality. and the pent-up emotion in the room spilled out on the street where television crews had camped. Tanya Rogers, Anthony's sister, yelled through a swarm of cameras as Javon ducked into a car.
Stop and call a cop! Killing people, hitting somebody and keeping them going! You could have saved someone's life!
A local TV reporter held his mic to the car's closed window as it drove away.
Mr. Weaver, are you sorry? There's nothing you want to say to the victim's family?
There was then a verbal altercation between Javon's mother, Robin, and members of the Rogers family. Tanya said this as she walked away.
Your son killed my brother and left from there, and they're going to try to torch the car two times. I don't give a heck of your principal.
Rogers' niece, who asked to go unnamed, said this.
The thing that upsets my family most is just, like I said, we understand accidents happen. It's, you know, we understand that. But why didn't you stay at the scene? Yeah. And then you tried to destroy evidence. If your career, your life, your family means so much to you, you should have just stayed at the scene. You know? When we seen that he torched the car, it was unbelievable.
Roger's niece was the one who got the phone call telling the family that Anthony was dead. When she first learned about Javon, she searched him online and found my story.
You found the story that I wrote, and you said,
mm-hmm.
You're making this guy out to be so nice.
I mean, he probably is. I'm not saying anybody's making him out anything, because he probably is.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that away from him. Only thing I'm holding him, we are holding him accountable for, is for his actions after the accident occurred.
I hope at some point to write a story about Anthony Rogers, something that honors him, illuminates his life, gets to understand his family beyond the raw pain that seethed on the streets outside the courtroom. I told them this, and they said they'd consider it. In the meantime, Javon's case will now wind through the court system. His attorney will likely push for leniency, a momentary lapse of judgment followed by a confession and remorse. Look at the whole of his life, he'll likely argue. The prosecution will push back. This would be a much different case if Javon had stayed at the scene. Wherever it lands, one thing is already clear. We're witnessing tragedy. One man left for dead on a busy road, his grieving family suddenly without a father, a grandfather, a husband, a brother, an uncle. Another man facing serious jail time. For Javon, the latter was a fate he was supposed to have risen above. As a black educator in a mostly black school, his work as principal included showing students how that path could be avoided, that hard work in school could lead to a better life, to freedom. And he was a role model students were supposed to be able to look to prove it. This was from August 2016, right before Javon addressed his faculty for the first time at Worcester.
I am these students, and I need them to see me inside of every single student that walks through this door. That hope, that possibility, that option of success and great success. So,
in our February 2018 interview, my first with him after the hit and run, we talked about how he told the staff that day that for a long time he thought he'd either end up dead or in jail. When we talked, he had recently turned 36.
Did you truly feel like that was something that could have happened in your life?
Absolutely. That was a true feeling, like for many years. Like, thinking about turning 35 on my 36th birthday, like, what was I going to be doing when I'm 36? Because when I'm 11 years old and when I'm 12 years old right now, and I'm, you know, hanging in crack houses and have no idea where my life is headed right now, because everyone I see, again, the same things are happening to them. So is this really life? Is this all that life is going to offer me right now? That's truly, like, you didn't see people living long. And if they were older, they weren't in a good position. And again, it's just so important, you know, for me just as a black male to just I don't know, be a different model for our kids, because they see the same things. And, you know, it's just really sad.
Javon's 37 now, and the top end of his potential sentence would keep him locked up until he's 56. As of now, Javon is free on bail. But no matter the outcome of his case, his career as an educator is done. Next year, there will be a new principal at Worcester. Question is, what will students remember about their old one? The man who empowered them and encouraged them to rise above their circumstance, or the man who let them down by his actions on that December night? ¶¶ This special update episode was written and produced by me, Kevin McCrory. It was edited by Naomi Starobin. Charlie Kyer was the sound engineer. We'll continue following Javon's case as it proceeds. We plan to check in on Wister, see how the staff, students, and parents are adjusting. In the meantime, we have a whole other season of Schooled coming next month. Look out for our trailer in the coming weeks.